Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. He's talking about sure is a nice day out there, and I'm not sure that's exactly it.
Not anywhere close.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure he understands what he's talking about.
Nope.
You know, you write a song, I guess, in 1967, 68, I think that song came out.
Everything was happy and good then.
Yes. They were bringing in stuff from overseas, and everybody was happy and happy anyway. Okay. But what's funny is that theme music is actually from Elvin Bishop, and Charlie Daniels was one playing fiddle on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was way back in the 60s before Charlie Daniels made it on his own. He was doing with Elvin Bishop. Hasn't been published in the U.S. since 1972. couldn't even get it. When we were first doing, when I had my first radio shows and then my TV show, I used that music for all that. I actually, pre-internet, obviously, I had to call a company out of Chicago, old record store in Chicago. I was calling record stores all over the U.S. Finally found that album in Chicago in an old record store.
Wow.
Well, it was 20-some years out of date in the 80s when I was looking for it, you know. And we started using that 1985 for radio ads and all the rest of that stuff. It was a booger to find it again.
Oh, I'm sure.
When I decided to do the radio show again, I was like, where the heck am I going to find that goofy song? I mean, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I have Captain Josh Greer with me today, and this is Fish and Frank, and it's February 13th, 2014. Oh, my God. Yeah, Josh, it's 2014.
And it's March 13th, not February.
Oh, yeah, it is March, isn't it? Okay, guys. Frank's really good this morning. We got the tent event in two days. Oh, my God.
This whole month has been a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the boat shows, the talks. We still get the PGI Fishing Club picnics. We still got, we did the fishing club the last couple of nights. A lot of fun. I mean, we were packed both nights. It was crazy. I mean, we had a great time last night. We had a great time Tuesday night. And, I mean, poor Luigi's, they had one table, it was 25 people at a single table. Ooh. They pulled all these tables together, 25 people walking at the same time, 50 people from the fishing club. I mean, the poor waitresses and cooks, you just see them, they're all just like, their eyes are all bugging out of their heads and running around, and it's like, oh man, I felt so bad for everybody up there last night. And service was a little slow.
Imagine that.
Everybody's going, well, how come? I said, man, did you see a table out there? Every seat in the restaurant packed. Amazing. But the food was good. We always stop and get a little bite afterwards and stuff. But we had a good time.
Best food around, if you ask me.
We were doing a thing about snook, but I'd done one in August about snook. We went big into leaders last night. What kind of leaders to use? Steel, mono, fluorocarbon. We did all those things.
Right.
And now, if anybody hasn't looked out the window yet this morning, it looks nice.
But it's not.
It's not. No. It's the air temp is kind of good. It's a little chilly, but the wind is high.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be getting 25-mile-an-hour winds. Now, today is the day Captain Josh decided he's taking a charter. What have you been doing? You've been hunting a lot.
Well, yeah, I've been fishing a lot. I didn't fish yesterday because of the wind, but I'm going to fish today because of the wind.
Yeah, I didn't go yesterday because the wind was blowing hard. Today it's 10 miles an hour higher and you're going today.
Sounds good.
No, didn't you do a hunting trip yesterday?
We did. Because of the wind, we did not fish. So I called Andrew and Mallory, which I think they've been on the
Monster
show
Mad Fish Mallory.
Yep, and we got her first hog yesterday.
Really?
Yep, a big one too.
Like this?
Wrong hog.
Wrong hog? Okay. Wait a minute. Let's see.
Right hog.
Now we're correct. Wait a minute, that's obnoxious. What the heck?
That's why we shot it.
Yeah, that's why you shot it. It was making too much noise. But how did she do with her pig?
She did great. She made about a 120-yard shot. Perfect shot. Big hog, so it ran a little bit, but it didn't run 75 yards into the woods and piled up.
Wow. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, this little tiny girl, wrestling sharks and jewfish and hog hunting and all the rest of that stuff.
I think she likes the challenge.
Yeah, I think, I mean...
Don't ever tell her she can't do something.
Yes, she's like almost 5 feet tall, cute as a button, and just, I mean, what the heck is up with this? But you do quite a bit of hunting trips, don't you?
I do. I've got connections on pretty much any hunting you want to do in Florida.
If you want to go out, you're going to go hunting, he's connected, you know, he comes up, you know, he's got the guy, and when you talk to Josh, he tells you about the guy, and the guy comes out, he finds you the hog, you know, the hog is marked, he's got him marked, and Josh is connected, you know.
Yeah, but I've got to do everything from duck hunting, quail hunting, turkey hunting, hog hunting, deer hunting, alligator hunting, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think the hog hunting is kind of cool because they can fight back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they're...
How big were the tusks on this one?
It was a sow, so it didn't really have any tusks. Okay. It was a big, fat female. Be good eating, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hog hunting, I actually wrote a column in the Waterline a couple weeks ago about hunting and... with hogs and stuff, and you know, hogs, you know, a lot of people don't like hunting for whatever reason. You know, maybe they're not into it, maybe they think it's wrong.
Well, they watch Bambi,
right? But
I'm sorry, there was not one animal rights group in existence until Bambi's mom got shot. I mean, it was like, give me a break, right. It's a cartoon, you suckers.
Yeah. But in the case of wild hogs, they're an invasive species. I mean, yes, they've been here for hundreds of years, but
they're almost in Canada.
Right. They're an invasive species. So hunting them is actually a good thing. Mm. You know, it's ethically controlling an invasive species, you know,
and
providing good eats for the family.
Yeah. There's basically, without hunters, there'd be not enough. There's not enough money to buy the land and keep the land,
right,
to keep all the animals going. It's a catch-22. If you don't like hunting, you should still buy a hunting license every year.
Absolutely.
If you're an animal rights person and you don't like hunters, buy a hunting license every year, because the more hunting license sold, the more land is available, the more treatments available, the more regulations available.
The way I tell people, if you don't, you know, people look down on hunters, you know, hunters were the first conservationists.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hunters were the reason that game laws came into effect and hunting seasons came into effect. Because,
and
first of all,
it's the only reason we have any ducks, geese,
absolutely
anything.
You know, and the way I look at it is, we have the most to lose. If, you know, people think hunting is go kill everything you can. Well, if we did that, we would hunt for 1 year and then we'd never go hunting again because we'd kill everything.
You'd be a commercial fisherman.
Hey! <You know?
laughs> I mean, I hate to say it, but these guys were nuts, you know?
Right, but
the old
know.
Guys, when I first moved here, were all really cool. Pretty much all of them knew this was the fish that was here and that's what you had to do and this is what you had to work with. Take what you need, leave the rest.
Right.
And, speaking of take what you need and leave the rest, we were talking about you going to charter on today.
Yeah.
Now, you've got this monster boat.
What's Greg call it? The Queen Mary.
Yeah, because, I mean, this thing is huge. And it's amazing. You get it back where you go and be able to do and come and run and go back on the flats and everything with it. It takes a lot of talent to do that. But a lot of people don't remember. I mean, most of the boats I run are huge 24-footers because displacement.
Absolutely.
The smaller the boat, the less displacement. With, you know, if you put three people on it, you got 600 pounds of people on there. And the bigger and wider the boat, the less it sinks.
Right.
The less it'll draft because displacement.
Right.
You know, boat displaces water, everything pops up. So in your case, you could displace the, you know, 5th Regiment of the, you know, 3rd Brigade of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a monster you got.
So,
but you're going to need every bit of it today.
Well, today's like today are the days that I'm glad I have that boat when the wind blows. Because when I get done, I'm not soaking wet. My back doesn't hurt.
Exactly.
You my customers are comfortable, you know.
And everybody asks me, how can I run those boats? Because we use the 24 DLXs, and they don't pound. Once you get past 21 foot, the boat is big enough and heavy enough.
It goes from wave to wave.
Wave to wave. And when you get in those shorter boats, the flat bottom, I mean, that can be a real problem.
Right. But in 23, 24 foot seems to be where you want to be for a good ride. You know, I had a 22 foot bay boat before this one, and the problem was it would get in between the waves and just beat you to death. Now, this boat, you can feel it go just from wave to wave and it stays up on top.
It's all about, you know, just a little bit more is a lot. But one of the things you have to be careful about is with a lot of brands of boats, once you break that 20 foot, you're getting into the offshore boats.
Right.
And most 23s are offshore.
Yes.
Now, it's becoming more and more common for people to make 23, 24
foot bay boats.
Right. You know, shallower draft bay stuff. But it's not that common yet.
Right.
You weren't at the show. We were all marveling at that epic Marina Mike's had.
That's a good looking boat.
Did Greg show it to you?
Yeah, and when I was up in Panama City, there was a dealer there that had some. And then Greg was telling me about them, and I swung in there. I was like, "Hey, that's a sharp looking boat. That's a good looking boat."
Funky color.
Yeah,
funky color. I'm like, oh my god! But speaking of funky looks and colors, Rockport Rattler will be here at the tent sale Saturday. How was that for an ad?
That was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
slipped it right in.
Yeah, he did. I didn't even see that one coming.
Okay. So what's the game plan today?
Hide.
Yeah.
First of all, we got a negative tide at 9 o'clock this morning. A northeast wind at 25 mile an hour.
Northeast? I thought it was southeast.
No, it's northeast. Right now.
I could go to fishingfranks.com. I got to find out.
So the tide's negative 0.1, which will probably be negative 0.3 or 4 with that wind. So there's going to be no water. And very windy. So, canals, here I come. I'm going to get back into canals and see what we can find.
I'm looking up fishingfranks.com. I'm going to the weather and tide. I'm hitting that live weather button. And at Placida right now, it is blowing 19 miles an hour, gusting 25 out of the northwest.
Is it northwest?
Yeah, right now. Live right now in Placida, 19 miles an hour, northwest, coming from 311 degrees, gusting 25. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, this is, it's around, it's still in the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, 67.2 degrees. I should be able to read the stuff on my website. But yeah, the live weather right out of the intercoastal, 67 degrees. 19 miles an hour out of the northwest, so that's gonna be a little tough.
Yeah, it is. But
negative tides, north winds. Oh my god! I'm so glad I'm not running charters anymore. I'm so happy being Fish and Frank, running around the store like my hair's on fire. You know.
Right. Today's the day that we got to work for it. But I'll tell you what, I was telling Robert out at the counter earlier there that the last time I had to fish with the same group of people that I'm fishing with today, it was like this, and we whacked them good.
Now, was that the group you had out by Gasparilla, working the docks and the black drum and the sheephead and stuff?
No, yeah, they've been out there with me, but it wasn't that video. No.
Okay.
But there again, another day that it was windy, nasty, ugly. You know, those days, those docks and the canals really seem to turn on.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
So,
and I'm sure you're going to find fish.
Yeah.
So, XXL charters.
That's right.
Not XXXL.
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
XL. XXL charters. XXL sport fishing.
There you go.
That's it. Okay. I'm catching up. I'm slowly getting there. I mean, I feel so bad. I've been getting tons of emails and phone calls and stuff because we really weren't on the air for about a week. And he's going, you got me addicted. I got nothing to work with here. You know, I'm jonesing out here. You know, come on, put the show back on the air. So we're
trying. Fishing radio junkies out there.
Yeah. Anyway, what's been going on your last trip? What do you guys?
Been catching some really good redfish. I fished in the river, actually, the last couple trips, just because
Let me guess. Harbor Heights Docks.
I don't even know where that's at, Frank. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Actually, what's funny is I hear in the Punta Gorda side is actually a little better.
Really?
Yeah, the fish aren't as big, but there's probably three times the numbers.
Yeah, there's a lot of little redfish in the river, which there always seems to be a lot of little redfish in
where
the river.
Where they grow up.
But last couple of trips, I got some really nice fish. Some overslot fish, some top of the slot fish.
Isn't that amazing how all of a sudden this year, for some reason or other, big redfish.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Kale caught a Goliath grouper up at Liverpool.
Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And then and catching quite a few snook, you know, by accident. We're just throwing shrimp on a jig head up there, but caught, what was it, the day before season?
Right.
Open. Caught a perfect 29.5-incher, you know. Most of the snook you're catching, though, are small, but there's big ones there, I'm sure.
Oh, I know.
They just don't like that shrimp on a jig head.
Right across from me, the dock's right across from my house. Greg and or Jeff, not Greg, but Jeff got it was 40 inches.
Yeah. There's some big snook in that river.
So,
I'll probably be up there today, hopefully, if I can get there.
Where are you planning on launching at?
I'm gonna put in at Ponce de Leon.
Well, then you can go left or right.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I'd probably, well, with that negative tide, you can't get in at Lashley.
No.
The boat ramp ends too quick.
Yeah.
And when it ends, it ends.
Yeah. I
mean, when that sign at Lashley Park said ramp ends here,
it means it ends there.
It falls off.
After there's Chinamen.
Yes. I mean, you see guys dressed in red suits with little horns and pointy tails
right
at the bottom of that. That goes off. But, Ponce is a pretty good choice. But Northwind, once you get around that corner, You know, in your boat, you're not going to make trouble.
No.
You can swing around, hit down, hit on the east side.
Yeah, I'm going to do is run down the east side, probably go down towards Pirate Harbor. Because with that north wind, you know, Whorehouse Point and all that, Alligator Creek is blocking most of that. You know, that shoreline runs east and west there, so it kind of blocks that north wind a little bit for you.
Yeah, that'll be good. You can shoot right down, stay in the calm water right outside the bar.
Yep.
But anyway, everybody's kind of talking whitebait's starting to work. It's just not around though.
No.
And oh, I'm sorry, pilchards.
Oh boy.
Sorry guys, in-house joke. I mean, we had one of the captains who was saying, "Well, they're not greenbacks. They won't come to this. It's pilchards. It's the same fish." Whitebait, greenbacks, threadfins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of subspecies in the whitebait, but right. Pilchards is kind of a general name for all of them, kind of like saying whitebait.
Right. So
I'm waiting for the sardines to come in.
Were offshore.
I know.
A couple weeks ago. I don't know where they're at now, though.
I'm pretty sure every time they've been offshore, I know where they go in the harbor.
Really?
There was me and two other boats that me and Blake and one other guy, and we would always be able to go out. And once we found them anywhere, there is a place where they hang out, and I haven't told anybody yet. it's really tough to do.
All right.
And it's not like, okay, go to this area. It's actually a process. I'll try and get you out and show you how to do it.
Cool. Because
those sardines is the best bait.
Yeah.
There is, I don't care, greenback, shrimp. Pick any bait you want. Spanish sardines is the best bait in the world.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, there's been something about we're getting some kind of exotic shrimp in the harbor too that has the potential for screwing everything up. I really kind of on the cusp with that because, like, the green mussels,
right.
Most everybody's saying, oh, God, we don't want them here. And I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe we do because
if they clean water.
Well, they clean water up, and our oyster beds are in trouble. Native species always have a trouble as things adapt,
right.
But non-native species go crazy in it.
Right.
I wonder why that is. You could take our oyster that's struggling here and put it in another location, and it would grow flourish. Like crazy and take over everything. It's
weird.
Just weird.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, why wouldn't nature just say, okay, you can do well anywhere?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be moved. You can just do well right here.
I wish.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But I'm actually, I don't know if that tiger, it's an edible shrimp, tiger shrimp. Should be fine. I mean, maybe we'll have a brown tiger shrimp.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, there's a lot of species crossing now because there's a lack of actual their own species.
Right.
And they're seeing in Australia with the sharks crossbreeding, and right. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of new species here in the next few years.
That should be crazy.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I'd like to see the gator snook. an amorous gator with a snook, or let's say the trout and the snook cross back together.
A spotted sea snook.
Yeah, spotted sea snook. That would be cool. Okay, we're reaching here, folks. All right. So, anyway, on your last trip, what do you expect the differences from last time? You fished
day before yesterday.
So, what was your game plan then, and how is it going to vary now?
Other than location.
Oh, that was a heck of a question, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, other than location, the game plan is still going to be the same. Shrimp on a jig head has been working really good. So, I'm going to continue with that, but today's going to be one of those days where you got to fish where you can, not necessarily where you want. So,
yeah, that's going to be a little tougher. But
right.
If you're down working that Lower East Side, I know there's a lot of fish right at the mouth of Two Pines. I'm not sure, but I think that's going to be right in the teeth of the wind, though.
Yeah.
But if you go across the other side on Pine Island, there's that real shallow sandbar, and right behind that it gets deep, and there's some monster trout in there.
Yeah, there has been. So.
I mean, that's some of the biggest trout we've heard of yet, right in that back dip.
I'll make my way down there, maybe.
I don't know if we have a name for that place or not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So, but it could be interesting today, but hopefully we'll be all right. I'm sure we're going to catch fish, but so, you're going to have to work for them.
Yes, we're just running out of things to say. So I think we're going to wrap this up. We're just sitting here going, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about something. I don't care. Okay, but if you want to go out and do some hunting, Josh, he's like connected. So he's got the connections. You know, he knows the guy. And if you're going to do the guy, you can do it. Call the Josh, and Josh will get you on that animal. You know, he's good at that.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to go fishing, Josh can take you out, and
we can
you
do that
can be
too.
Fishing, and you don't have to worry. I mean, you know, like the guys in the suits ain't going to come up when you go fishing. You know.
No, they don't bother me.
Okay. So anyway, Josh. Hey, Robert. Robert's walking by, but I don't think. I don't know what happened to the other one here. It was laying here. I guess it's gone. Anyway, anything you want to add to this mess here?
Nope.
You can come down and use my mic.
I walked into the middle of the mess. I don't know what mess we're talking about.
Well, we ran out of things to say, and I haven't decided to close the show yet. Anything else we can talk about?
We can talk about the tent sale. We can talk about the fishing and the weather.
We did that.
We talked about the weather. It sucks, and the wind's blowing too hard, and Josh is crazy fool for going out in it.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
but he's got the Queen Mary, so he'll come back alive.
Oh, yeah. He's got the perfect boat for this kind of weather. So, anyone that has a little Texas skiff or anything like that, they aren't going anywhere today. Well, not at all.
They ain't leaving the river, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
So
today's a day to go through your tackle box and get ready for the up-and-coming big fish season. Check all your gear, check all your tackle, make sure it's working and operating right, and anything you're out of, come in and get it for the sale.
Yeah, everything's going
to
be on sale.
Even if you just don't need to buy a rod and reel, buy the terminal tackle that you know you're going to use everyday stuff.
Actually, I think the best thing to do is Saturday, plan on just coming walking through the parking lot. That's
going
to
yeah.
be amazing. Just to walk through and meet all those people and see everybody throwing lures. We've got all these casting tanks in the back we're building right now. So
watching them cast the lures and actually see how they work is pretty amazing. Cause, I mean, it's amazing how many people buy lures and don't take the time to actually look and watch and see how they work.
I'm wanting to see the scatter rod. I've seen it in the bait tank. It's going to be similar in there, but I want to watch Jim throwing that scatter rod to see what it does.
Right. Yeah, that'll be pretty darn nice.
And Gary Loomis, that's going to be cool.
That's
Gary Loomis
be neat.
In the parking lot.
That's going to be neat meeting him, if I even get a chance to.
Well, I mean, that's the only problem. We had all these people show up. I didn't actually get a chance to talk to half of them last year.
Yeah. Well, even when they were selling that that DOA, that
Airhead?
The Airheads.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about them, screaming about them, ranting and raving by and everything last year, and I didn't get to see them. I Mark Nichols was getting ready to leave him. Somebody told me he was getting ready to boogie. I ran out there and stopped. I said, you can't leave until you show me how this thing works, because how am I supposed to teach the customers after all this? I haven't even seen how it works. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, you and I are going to have to get together and spend 5 minutes with everybody this year.
I'd be lucky we didn't even see each other for 5 minutes last year.
I know, I'm trying.
It'll be worth a shot.
Yeah, I was
it
trying.
It sounds good in theory. Yeah. It sounds real good in theory.
It was an idea. What can I say?
It's a great idea. You know. Always sounds good on paper.
All right, I can't really get out of this show until I clear that computer screen. Okay, got that off. I guess we can do this up. But pen is, you know, you're going to save 15, 20, 30% on a reel.
At least.
At least. And they have the special deal this year.
Yep.
Quantum is going to be here, and they've got a line deal going. But I hate to say it, Ben kicked their butt on the deal this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super secret. We're not allowed to talk about it. We can't. If we talk about it, we lose our deal. But you got to come in and check out what Ben's doing this year. Oh,
absolutely.
My God, Mike Rice has kicked everybody's butt.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be very, very amazing. You know, and I mean, and Barry from Star Rods is going to be here, so he's so knowledgeable.
And we actually stripped the wall off. I've got a bare wall here with nothing but hooks on it. We're stacking Star Rods up on there.
Right.
I mean,
but it's just amazing his knowledge on rod building over the years, from starting in his garage building rods to having a worldwide selling rod, and he understands it to a pretty good degree of the morphology of fishing rods over the years, for the most part.
And
it's kind of fascinating to be able to talk to him about some of that.
And I'm not going to talk to him about rods, because every time Barry and I get him talking about rods, he gets very, shall we say, spirited.
Spirited.
Yeah.
I like that.
Spirited.
That's a good word for the day. Nice. We're going to use that the rest of the day.
It's hard to believe him and I have been friends so long, because when you see us in the booth at the trade shows and everything else, we're hollering and yelling at each other, gesturing and going back and forth.
That's because there's not too many people that are more knowledgeable than you, because you've played with so many thousands of different rods over the years.
But
you understand the mechanics of it, not just the fact that, hey, it holds string and reels a fish in. You understand all that.
Yeah,
so you can actually have a relatively educated conversation with him and give him
spirited
a
conversation.
It's spirited, isn't it?
But it's educated, too, because both you guys are super knowledgeable.
Yeah, I get it.
You know?
But it's so much fun. He is one of the most... I enjoy talking to Barry. Pretty much, there's very few people in the industry that... really, when we get going, we can just go, and it's head-to-head, you know, nose-to-nose, and we just really get into it. I really enjoy talking to Barry.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting.
We're not going to be doing that at the Fish and Frank's tent sale.
We aren't going to have time for that.
We're not going to have it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't have time. But I don't know anything else we should talk about. I'm still excited about Gary Lomas. And I know Eric from MiraLure, you know, tossing lures in the tank, Mark Nichols and all that. Excited to see Charles from Rockport Rattler. I haven't actually met him face-to-face. Interesting in shaking his hand this year.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, that'll be really kind of nice. You know, and then Charlie Reynolds is just unbelievable.
Charlie's been here since the very first, and he's Quantum.
Yeah.
And he's bringing a bunch. Finor's got a new reel out this year. Legacy. They have the Inshore and the Legacy, right?
Is it the Legacy?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think it's Legacy. But
yeah, I think
the
so.
The weird
I
part
think
about
you might
the
be right.
Finor stuff, we don't get them back.
Yeah.
You sell that reel, you never see it again.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
They're bulletproof.
Yeah.
And nobody knows about it.
No, it's just, it's like one of those hidden little gems that just, it's overlooked. And it's because it's not shiny and bright and beautiful, and people think that it's got to be shiny and bright and beautiful and it's going to work, and then they wonder why there's problems with some of these reels, and it's like, pretty doesn't
We're not talking about Shimano. No, no, no. That wasn't
no,
it.
No,
no, no,
no.
We weren't talking about that piece of crap, you know.
No, it's just, it's a bulletproof reel.
That idiot was in yesterday, and he says, you know, we got the tent sale coming up. You'd think he'd be like, okay, I know you guys got the sale, you know, you want me to come and help out and everything. No, it was, well, there'll be about 5 minutes before they come out, because Robert and I were doing a radio show. And he's like, well, I don't have time to wait for this.
Seriously.
Wow.
Wow.
And you guys wonder why I tell Shimano to go screw themselves all the time. Wow.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
God, this guy's a moron. He's a nice guy.
Real nice guy, just...
But what a decision. Let me make it perfectly clear. I said that a little wrong. As a business sense, the guy's a moron. And as a person, he's a really nice guy and really sharp. Right. But, I mean,
and how many other really tackle shops did he walk into yesterday that was stacked with people? With that crappy, crappy overcast weather?
It's not even that. It's just that... I don't know. He's just funny as heck. But I like him as a person. I'm not that thrilled with him with his sales technique.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that was a real good sales technique right there.
Blow up Robert. Okay. Really smart. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that wasn't a real sharp idea.
So, I mean, I understand why people blow me off. Because I am not the great guy to deal with. But blowing you off, that's like, you know.
But, yeah, I mean... Okay. That's boggling.
That's enough.
All right. Either way, it's going to be a phenomenal show. Phenomenal. Sales.
I didn't say anything bad about Shimano. Great. It is a good product. I would just wonder about their stat.
Their tactics.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, I need to get out of here. I'm going bad. Help!
Going
I'm
mad.
Failing here.
Going mad. Yeah, he was going mad 20 years ago.
The music's playing. We can end this madness. I'm looking like a real jerk here. I don't need this today.
No.
I don't need to look like such a jerk. I'm supposed to be the nice guy.
Say goodbye, Frank.
Goodbye, Frank. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will do another Radio Fishing where we're not quite such such problem childs. But anyway, as always, business is fun, entertaining, and we can laugh at the world, I guess. But try and stop by the tent sale. I promise you, it is like really, it's going to be a great experience, and we're looking forward to seeing you. And thank you all. We'll see you on the next Radio Fishing.